Sportscast, October 3rd, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And of course, if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit us on thesportscast.net. This show is live on DAB Digital Radio. You can listen to it on thesportscast.net or on Radio for Alabama Football, Radio 3. So you're able to listen to this live. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. You can download InstaBible 3.3 on the iOS App Store. Saturdays is for college football, and Alabama made a statement today. Number 2 Alabama beat number 13 Texas A&M 52-24. The offense had 544 yards in offense, and someone texted me that stat, and the person that, who did that was the one and only Justin Riley, all the way from Madison, Mississippi. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Roll Tide, Roll Tide.
Justin Riley, I saw bits and pieces of the game. Texas A&M tied 14-14. I thought it was going to be close, but no. Alabama came back in the second half, scored a couple more touchdowns, made it 52 points. Tell us, break us down what happened today.
Well, it didn't seem like it was going to actually be close for a minute there, if not for some mistakes, which allowed Texas A&M to get back on the board and tied up 14-0. One of those plays was the interception. I really won't credit it to Matt Jones because the ball was batted in the air, and Texas A&M defender caught it and took it back into Alabama territory. Of course, on the ensuing possession, A&M was able to convert, got the touchdown, and another Alabama miscue later led to another A&M score. But it was back and forth for a little bit. Biggest thing I noticed was the Alabama defense. After last week's showing against Missouri, a lot of us thought that maybe things were going to get back to normal. We start playing to the Alabama standard. Well, that wasn't the case today as we gave up nearly 500 yards of total offense. But offensively, as far as we go, we were able to continually put points on the board. Mac Jones had an absolutely amazing day. 20 of 27, 435 yards, 4 touchdowns. And that one pick, like I said, I'm not going to credit that to him because it really wasn't his fault. Jalen Waddle was electric as normal. 5 receptions, 142 yards. Perhaps the player of the day offensively, other than Mac Jones, was John Metchie, second-year player out of Canada. 5 receptions, over 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. Just didn't seem like the Texas A&M secondary had an answer for the youngster. As far as defensively goes, one of the most glaring stats to me was, other than giving up nearly 500 yards, was we had 0 sacks, none. We got pressure at times on Kellamond, but we were never able to actually bring him down. If not for a couple of miscues on Kellamond's part and some of his players, score probably would have been a lot tighter throughout the game. But thankfully, we capitalized on their mistakes. Malachi Moore was the bright spot of the defense to me. He was the most consistent player. He could actually tackle. He wasn't out there playing two-hand touch like some of the guys were. Daniel Wright, on several occasions, was found out of position, didn't really tackle well, although he did have a pick six, took it to the house, but on other plays, didn't really look all that stellar to me. But back to Malachi Moore, this guy just was absolutely phenomenal. Freshman, 18-year-old, making great tackles. Had a pick, actually the first pick of the Alabama secondary for the year. He looked very, very good. But offensively, very happy with what we did. Have a lot to look forward to going forward. Defensively, we have got to get some work done.
And tell us a little bit more about that. What tweaks would you give to the Alabama defense?
Man, we're giving up too much on third down again. We were giving up too many pass plays. It just seems like Kellen Mond was able to pick us apart, excuse me, whenever he wanted to. Of course, at times he did himself in, but the plays were still there for him to make. It just he didn't make them at times, but there are several times where he did make some great plays, threw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Didn't necessarily beat us with his legs this year. We were able to somewhat contain that, which was good, but he still shredded our secondary. Another one of the things that was really, really surprising to me was when the second team Texas A&M offense came on the field against our first team defense, they were still able to move the ball with ease.
Wow.
And if it wasn't for an interception at the end by Malachi Moore that I mentioned earlier, you know, they may have scored on us. So that is definitely concerning to me.
Something to definitely look at, of course. We've been talking about the defense. Is this the same storyline from last year that's continuing to this year, or you think things will be corrected soon?
Well, with given the star power we have in place, like Dylan Moses, LeBron Ray, and a few other players who returned, you've got to think it's going to be corrected, especially with the senior leadership. But today, watching the game, it really had the feel of last year. Just gave up way too much defensively. It draws concern, especially since we'll be going against a high-powered offense next week in Ole Miss. So it's something we got to tweak and tweak fast. We've got to get pressure on the quarterback, and we got to convert pressures to sacks. Another thing offensively, I know we did very well in the passing game. Didn't do so well running the ball until it was garbage time. So this offensive line, who's been given numerous accolades, really wasn't able to open up running lanes for Najee Harris. So that's something that we definitely got to start working on. We got to become more balanced. Because there is going to come a time where the passing game may struggle a little bit, and we're going to have to carry the ball.
We'll touch up on Patrick Surtain. How was his performance?
I thought he did very well. He made some very good he knocked the ball down in key moments. He seemed to be able to lock down his receiver, didn't get beat at all. He was probably one of the other most consistent players of the defense. You definitely didn't have to worry about him losing contain. Like I said, he and then Malachi Moore did a phenomenal job. It was really Daniel Wright that really kind of drew my attention in a negative way.
Why was that?
Oh, just missed tackles. He was found out of position several times. It just kind of seemed lost. And I know he's a young guy, but, you know, it's really fundamentals that it really got him beat, and that's something he's really got to work on.
Something to definitely look at. Texas A&M quarterback Mond, he didn't have a good game. Tell him, can you tell the audience, how was his performance?
Well, he threw for over 300 yards, had one pick six, of course, but he also threw for 3 touchdowns. Now, he could have done a lot more damage because the plays were there. He just made some bad throws. I think maybe a lot of that had to do with the fact that he was playing with new receivers. He had some receivers that left early for the draft last year. He had some receivers that were out due to injury. He had his top receiver opt out. So he's playing with a new batch of pass catchers. So the timing wasn't really there. However, he was able to capitalize in the secondary with his tight ends. His tight ends played phenomenal today. So he could have played better if his passes would have been on point.
There's been talk on Twitter that Texas A&M needs a new quarterback. Do you agree with those noise?
Well, the question the past 4 years, going on 4 years, is when is Kellen Mond going to achieve accolades? He was given a lot of accolades coming out of high school, and he was labeled as one of the top quarterbacks in his class. And he showed signs of brilliance the past 3 years. But the thing is, he was never consistent. And there were a lot of times where he would be brilliant. And there are other times where he'd be downright just awful, for lack of a better word. The A&M fans are just getting very frustrated because they want to see him become elite. But can he become elite? Now, when we saw King as backup come in, he was a freshman today. He looked pretty good with the limited time that he was in. So there's been talk, like you said, on Twitter and other social media outlets that maybe Jimbo Fisher is considering moving forward to maybe King. But the guy's a four-year starter. He has numerous passing records, not only for A&M, but for the SEC. So you got to think that Jimbo Fisher is going to give him the benefit of the doubt for a little bit longer.
We'll see what happens in Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. Before we head on to the next segment, let's talk about Mac Jones, 435 yards. How would you rate his performance?
A+. Just absolutely phenomenal. Like I said, I'm going to wave off that interception because that really wasn't his fault. He couldn't help that a ball was bad in the air and caught by a defender. So remove that. He put up a highs and light performance today. And a lot of people doubted him. A lot of people were calling for Bryce Young to be the guy this year. And Mac Jones is showing everybody that he is QB1 and quite possibly maybe playing his way into a first-round draft selection.
Wow, so, you heard it here first at the Sportscast.
Yeah, it may be a little bit premature, but I'm really high on this.
Don't backpedal, Justin.
Not backpedaling at all. He hasn't given me a reason to. And there's going to come a time where he does struggle, but my faith in him is still very strong.
Solidifying the starting position, of course, that's something that Alabama, historically, from my knowledge, isn't known as a quarterback school. You know, here and there, especially during like the Nick Saban era. Of course, Tua has been resoundingly being the best quarterback from the Nick Saban era. Of course, that could be debatable, but I think he's definitely up there. And Bryce Young is definitely bringing up some noise that he could be that next Tua. We'll see what happens in the future for Alabama. Let's go to Ole Miss. They defeated Kentucky 42-41 in overtime. Alabama's facing them next week.
Yeah.
What did you see today from Ole Miss?
Well, I actually caught the tail end of that game because they were playing at the same time Alabama was. From what I gathered until overtime, it was a back-and-forth battle between both squads, seeking to get that first win of the season. Of course, Ole Miss shows that they still have a lot of work to do defensively, especially if they're going to want to hang with some of the heavyweights in the SEC. But great resolve, and Matt Corral, great resolve by Lane Kiffin, able to rally his troops and pull off a victory. Is amazing. Overtime, Kentucky takes the first drive, scores, misses the extra point, and then on the ensuing possession, Matt Corral is able to lead his team down the field with the assistance of a pass interference call in the end zone. So the very next couple of plays, able to capitalize, finds his receiver in the end zone, extra point good, game over. Good game for as far as building confidence for this young Ole Miss squad.
42-41 Mississippi. What, I mean, obviously Florida defeated Ole Miss 1 week prior, 51-35. Do you think Ole Miss can cause trouble to Alabama? What weaknesses can Lane Kiffin expose, you think?
The secondary. Well, just Alabama's inability to really stop the pass right now, because Kellen Mond was able to shred Alabama's defense with relative ease today. So you better believe Lane Kiffin is going to be looking at game film and is going to look at how we can capitalize on that. And I will say he will cause trouble for Alabama. Ole Miss traditionally is always up for this game. They have a great disdain for Alabama. So they're going to be playing at 100%. And you better believe that Lane Kiffin is going to be pulling out all the stops for his former team.
A lot of storylines going to happen next week. Looking forward to it. Some people say, oh, it's just Ole Miss. No, this is going to be an interesting game. I don't know if it will be close, or will the margin be wide? Dustin, what do you think so far?
Well, it all depends on Alabama's defense. I would like to think, even though they gave up a lot of yards today, they're still in a lot better place than Ole Miss's defense. Ole Miss still has one of the worst defenses in the country, not just the SEC, but they are getting better, and I like to think that we'll be able to score a few more times than Ole Miss just because of that fact. But it really depends on how our defense responds.
Something to definitely look at, of course. Justin is our SEC Alabama commentator, contributor for the sportscast. He's definitely eyeing all these teams and all these games. Let's run down the score line, what happened earlier today. Florida beat the Gamecocks 38-24. Any thoughts?
Well, I thought it would be a little bit of a tough sledding for Florida initially. But Florida is just too much for the Gamecocks right now. Way too much talent. You know, Kyle Trask looked really good again. Four touchdown day. Again, Kyle Pitts, the best tight end in America. Like I said, going to be a top 10 draft pick.
I'll keep that in mind for fantasy.
You better grab him. No, there's actually chatter going around right now for that he needs to be entering the Heisman conversation. Well, he is that good. So,
what do you think? You think he could be in that conversation?
I mean, I think his name will be tossed around here and there, but
he's top 11.
The thing is, tight end isn't exactly the sexiest position in the game, and voters aren't really going to have a tight end up there. Well, unless he forces them to, which his play right now is absolutely phenomenal. So he could force them to make the decision to actually consider him as a finalist.
Something to definitely look at, of course. TCU defeated Texas 33-31. That was a shocker. I didn't see this coming, Justin.
You didn't? You didn't see it coming. The Longhorns nearly escaped Texas Tech last week. Then they come in and they face TCU. I'm no knock against TCU. I'm just tired of hearing this Texas is back narrative. I'm tired of hearing that
Nick Saban's going to Texas.
Is going to be one of the top quarterbacks in this year's draft. I'm tired of the analysts and the networks trying to force us to believe that the Longhorns are back and that Ellinger is this phenomenal quarterback. That's not true.
Yeah, something that Texas is overhyped, but we haven't seen anything since Vince Young. Another shocker, SMU beating Memphis 30-27. Justin, is that a shocker for me, or it is a shocker for you?
No, it's not a shocker at all, man. When these two teams come together, man, it's absolute war. It's a battle, man, and the fans win. Was kind of shocked that the SMU had that wide margin at first, but never give up on White. I think that's just the quarterback's name. It just escaped me for a second. Never give up on Memphis, man, because they're a great squad. They return a lot of good players. And my gosh, the American Conference is just an exciting conference to watch.
Something to definitely look at. And currently, right now, Auburn is down by a touchdown against Georgia. I guess we're going right into it. What do you think is going to happen in this matchup?
Man, it's going to be a defensive battle, really. I'm not really too high still on Bo Nix right now, even though people are still trying to push him a little bit. I think they have better receivers. I just don't think that Nix is a better quarterback. Well, he is a better quarterback because right now Georgia is playing with a Stetson Bennett. This is his first start. He did have a strong showing in the second part of the game last week against Arkansas. Shows promise, but you kind of want to know, will we see him? And if not, when would they possibly insert JT Daniels? But I think Georgia has a stronger defense, and I think it's going to be enough to outlast the Tigers.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Georgia is one of the top teams in the SEC East. Predictably, might win the SEC East, you think, or it could be Florida. Never asked you that before yet.
I honestly think it's going to be Florida based on what we've seen right now, just because of what they're able to do offensively. And Kyle Trask is light years ahead of the quarterback situation at Georgia right now. So I test right now goes to Florida.
Florida.
Yes, sir.
Florida.
Chomp chomp.
Exactly.
Chomp, chomp. This is the year.
This is the year. I thought they were a year ahead. I mean, a year, like a year out to win it. But I guess people were telling me, the experts were telling me, no, Santiago, this year is Florida's year. So,
well, you know, if the Jamie Newman situation wouldn't have played out the way it did with him opting out through 3 weeks before the season started, it may have been a different story. But with that, it definitely knocks him down a peg, and then we're not really quite sure how this quarterback situation is going to play itself out. Florida's a lot more stable right now offensively than Georgia is. Definitely have a lot more playmakers. So I've got to give the nod to Florida at this moment.
Definitely looking at, of course, this is, guys, I just want to remind you, every SEC team will play with only SEC teams. So the schedule doesn't get easier. Alabama does not play Citadel next week or Mercer. None of those teams. Every week is going to be a whole lot going on. A lot, and like the practice fields, there's no breathers. Justin, you know, this is week two for Bama. It's a week two, right? Yeah, week two.
Week two.
How are you feeling? What is your gut telling you? Would you say that you're feeling more confident than last year? But what is your mind and your heart telling you right now?
Our defense has got to get better if we're going to get through this gauntlet that is the SEC-only season. I will feel a whole lot better if we start to getting back to playing to the Alabama standard. Offensively, I got all the confidence in the world in this right now. So I just want to see improvements. I want to see better play from the defense. I want to see them shutting down people. I want to see them getting to the quarterback. I want to see tackling. Good old-fashioned, fundamentally sound tackling.
So with this small sample size, it's too small. You need to see a couple more games to make sure if the defense is okay.
Right. You're going to get a very big test next week against Ole Miss's offense. Not so much against Georgia because they really hadn't found themselves. I think Tennessee is getting better weekly. So I think that'll be a good test. Definitely a good test when the Bulldogs come to town, Mississippi State Bulldogs. So given their rate of play right now, Mississippi State's definitely one of the best teams offensively. So we're going to have our fair share of tests coming up next few games. It's going to be very tough for us. At Ole Miss, come back and play one of the best defenses in the country in Georgia. Then we go to Knoxville, Tennessee. So, and that's all before playing LSU and Mississippi State and Auburn and Arkansas.
I want to touch up on Mississippi State, Justin. Last week they killed LSU, let's just put it that way. Mike Leach, yeah, coming from the Pac-12, and Costello, quarterback, transferred into Mississippi State. I don't know if it was just LSU. Everyone was saying LSU was a horrible team, but is this a force to be reckoned with in the SEC?
Well, yeah, offensively, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with. That's a high-powered offense. And, yeah, give State their props. They did beat LSU. LSU's not horrible. They're just young. They're inexperienced. They had a lot of players jump ship to the pros. They had coaches that left. Before the season, you had very important players to the offense and defense opt out. And then before the very first game, their arguably best player defensively was sick, and he had to miss the game. Just bad fortune for LSU right now, but that doesn't mean they're horrible. I think they'll eventually get it together. It's just a question of when.
Yeah, right now they're tied at 7 against Arkansas, but it's just the first quarter. I'm sure there's going to be more points than that.
Yeah, it definitely will. I mean, LSU will settle in. I mean, they've got a good team. It's just a matter of when it's going to click.
No, Mississippi State versus Arkansas, not LSU.
Yeah, LSU's playing Vandy. But Mississippi State, they just came off a big win. They're not used to a win like this, so they're going to be a little down, and it's kind of hard to get up for Arkansas after a big victory like that. I think Mississippi State is definitely the better team. But we're going to see what they're made of. But I do agree that they have one of the best offenses in the SEC at the moment.
something to definitely look at, looking towards that Bama game. When would that game be? Top of your head.
Oh, I got to look at the schedule again, actually. So.
And I'm looking at it right now. Mike Leach, Costello versus Nick Saban, Alabama. That will be exposure for the Alabama defense. I cannot stress that enough. It'll be on Halloween.
Halloween.
Wow, what a day to pick that game.
Yeah, oddly enough, right?
Anyways, so. Before we go, how was the atmosphere, the stadium like? I know there was a limited seating, but what did you hear? Was it real noise, or how was the whole crowd situation there?
Crowd situation was good. We had about, I believe, around 18,000 at Bryant-Denny, and all 18,000 did their best to make their voices heard. You could actually hear it very well on the TV, so it seemed like it was a very good atmosphere. Everybody was up. There was a lot of energy going on. You could definitely tell from the body language of the team. They were up. They were excited. Glad to be at home. Bryant-Denny, opening day. So there definitely wasn't anything lacking.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, each stadium will have limited audience, limited fans due to the COVID crisis, unless there's some stadium out there that I don't know of. But I know the SEC is a little bit less lenient. But, hey, I'd rather have 18,000 fans than no fans.
Absolutely.
Justin, before you go, tell us about your Tuesday show, Constant and Riley. Who do you have in the back burner?
Man, well, it's going to be another big show. If you're a fan of Alabama and a longtime fan of Alabama, this is a treat for you. You know, we're going to have, first and foremost, George Teague, one of the best players to ever step foot at Alabama, former first-round draft pick, played for the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys.
And his second time at the Sportscast.
Yeah, second time at the Sportscast. Definitely he's responsible for two of the most recognized plays in football history, both at the national championship game against Miami with the strip and later with the Dallas Cowboys with defending the star as he took out Terrell Owens. The other guest we are going to have is Antonio Langham. He was Alabama's version of Deion Sanders in the early 90s. He was a top 10 NFL draft pick for the Cleveland Browns. He was in the NFL for, I think, 10 years. He actually was with the Browns before when they actually went over to Baltimore and became the Ravens. Cool fact about Antonio Langham, when he went to the Browns, he actually played under Bill Belichick, and Nick Saban was his defensive backs coach. So looking forward to hearing the stories. You definitely want to hear that. And then we will have comedian Steve Brown, been very popular on the comedy circuit, BET, Comic View, Def Comedy Jam, you name it. He's done it. Very, very funny guy. So definitely tune in for that. Every week tune in because we're going to have big guests.
Riley and Constant at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can catch it on the Sportscast 1 on Periscope or on YouTube. Search for us at the Sportscast on YouTube. And make sure you follow Riley and Constant. Always fun, entertaining, SEC Alabama, but also some laughter a little bit to cool
There's
things down. And we'd love to hear Marvin's take on it. What do you think, Marvin, will say on Tuesday over Bama's performance?
All I'm going to say is, folks, tune in because he's about to go on an epic rant. He wasn't too happy about last week's performance, giving up two touchdowns at the end there. So I can only imagine the roof is going to blow off.
And he's way more critical than you are.
What's that?
He's way more critical than you are.
Yeah, because he's one of the best linebackers in Alabama history. And he's coming from a player's perspective. He knows what we're supposed to do as Alabama defense. So he will not be singing praises. I will say that, just to put it mildly.
Anyways, Justin Riley, what's the best way for people to reach you, to debate you, that Kellen Mond is the best quarterback in the SEC West?
That's not a debate. Oh, yeah, reach me on Twitter, at JustinRiley7. On Instagram, at JustinRiley_7. Also, I help contribute to the Sportscast at the Sportscast 1 on both Twitter and Instagram.
And, of course, you can go to our website, thesportscast.net. Tell us, and also tell us about your last article you wrote. It was really good.
Hey, man. Well, actually, I wrote on the newly signed contract extension for Bobby Marlon Humphrey, who is Bobby Humphrey's son. Most importantly, Baltimore Raven, Ravens flock. Really excited about him. Just signed a 5-year extension, $98 million, I believe, and well deserved. He's a kid that lets his play do his talking. He don't bring attention to himself. He's not one of those entitled athletes who's always demanding money and getting paid. He just gets it done. And at the press conference, I go into further detail in my article about how humble he was and how he just really took that opportunity to praise his father for getting him to this point. Don't want to give up too much. It's definitely worth the read. Check that out. I also have an article previously before that about former Alabama linebacker Terrell Lewis, who is now with the Rams, Los Angeles Rams. A lot of people have been wondering why we have not been seeing him as of late. Well, in my article, I explain exactly what's up with Mr. Lewis. So definitely check those out.
And, of course, you can check that out on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. .net for the latest and greatest. Tomorrow we'll be live tweeting the NFL games. A few schedule changes, but not too bad. One game got moved over, Kansas City, New England, to Tuesday. And, of course, the Tennessee Titans and Minnesota Tennessee Titans versus that game is moved on to week 7, Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, so some scheduling changes, but we'll keep you up to date on the sportscast. Follow our website, follow our Twitter. We got the latest and breaking news. If you don't know what's happening in the NFL, we'll lead you, because, of course, things are starting to crack a little bit, but hopefully not a big crack. And, Justin, tell us one more thing. How was your weightlifting competition today?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did an impromptu powerlifting meet. This morning, I actually had to get up at 5:15 and leave my place at 5:45, travel 2 hours away to do powerlifting competition. I actually finished first in my division, praise God. I was able to get all of my lifts, so really excited about that opportunity and just glad that I'm able to continue to do this even at my age, 40+.
and reason why, because he's reading Marvin Constant's book.
Right.
40 plus, how to stay healthy and look at the age of 29, just like how Marvin's looking right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, if you were 40 and over, and this isn't one of those shameless plugs to get you to go to our website. This isn't another one of these fads. This is the real deal, because it's written by someone who is actually over 40 years old and made a dramatic change to himself physically. And he took it all down to pen and paper, and now is making it available to you. If you hadn't seen what Marvin looks like, go take a look at it, and then go to our website, and you can actually buy the book, Physical and Mental Fitness at 40 Plus by Marvin Constant, that is Alabama legend, linebacker Marvin Constant, the author. So grab it.
And you go to thesportscast.net. The book is available there. On Monday, we have Tyler Turner. His show is on Monday night. Tuesday, the Victor Rose. No, Tuesday is Constant and Riley. Thursday is the Victor Rocho show. Looking forward to it. Justin, Alabama's 2-0. What a show. What a game. Looking forward towards next week and, of course, NFL tomorrow. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, glad to do it, man. Glad to roll with the tide. And 2-0, roll tide.
2-0.